Well, this morning's Bible reading was very, very familiar, but not as familiar as this one. John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. And we'll read the first 9 verses of John chapter 3. We could most probably quote this passage, most of us, but we'll read it anyway. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and saith unto him, How can these things be? The Lord will bless his word. All right, it's a great blessing to be here on your church's 74th anniversary, and once again we give you congratulations and glory to God. Thank you for coming out tonight. It's been a beautiful day, and finally a whole day without any rain, which is a blessing, although it's not midnight yet. It's very good. Thank you for praying for us over recent months. We've had a wonderful year thus far. This year I'll be away from home something like 7 to 8 months of this year, and the Lord has just filled up the schedule, and we're scheduled well into next year, and we thank the Lord for that. God willing, this coming week we'll be in Adelaide. Robin's flying into Sydney on Wednesday evening, and then we're travelling down to Adelaide. And there'll be a week's, about 10 days ministry there. And then we'll start a young people's camp in Adelaide in the first week of the holidays in the Adelaide Hills. And then we'll finish there on the Friday and drive back here by the Saturday, early July. And then we'll start Kids Club. So looking forward to Kids Club. And we're already, the buzz is around. The tension is building, at least in the Matthews home. Stuff everywhere, all, and that'll be like that for the next month, for the next 3 weeks. But it's a massive job, but we're really looking forward to it. We could have had a kids club today, you know. We could have. There were so many kids down the park there, eh? But never mind. It's really good. I think I mentioned this morning we had a wonderful trip to Europe earlier this year, and I got to preach at several churches just north of Rome with Brother Michael Lenton, who is Joe Lenton's son, one of Joe Lenton's sons, the Monterosi Church and the Corchiano Church, and there were two others in the area just north of Rome, and they're churches of about maybe 30 to 40 people in each. What happens over there, of course, it's very hard to rent a building if you're not a Catholic. So they rent little shop fronts and so on, and when that's full, then they move to the next town. They rent another shop front and start a church. They've done that 4 times now. And I said to Michael, I said, well, have you got any plans to start any more? He said, we didn't have any plans to start any in the first place. He said, God just did it. And it was a real blessing. But they're wonderful Christians, and if the schedule works out, I'll be back there again early next year to have some meetings there, and possibly also up to Verona. I haven't been to Verona, so Michael said he'd arrange for me to go up to Verona and to preach up there as well. But that was a blessing. We travelled from Rome to Madrid and caught the train up to a place called Valladolid. And Valladolid is a fairly large city, about 200 kilometres north of Madrid, and I preached there for missionary James Felipe, who is Spanish by birth, spent a lot of his life here in Australia, but he's Spanish by birth and doing a wonderful job there in the city of Valladolid. And then we went over to Northern Ireland, and I preached in a church there, a church called The Lifeboat. That's the name of the church, The Lifeboat. And it's a great church, it really is. And we had a good time there. We spent a few days in London. As I mentioned this morning, we visited the Metropolitan Tabernacle and a few other places. And then we came back via Thailand and visited missionary Wayne Shemesh a bit north of Bangkok, where again the Lord is doing an amazing work. The town of Nakhon, or the city of Nakhon Sawan. There's a million people in Nakhon Sawan. It's 99% Buddhist. It's the highest concentration of Buddhists in all of Thailand. And so, you know, you hear, you know, it talks in the Bible about where, you know, they were where Satan's seat is, and it's just like that there. It's a very, very difficult place to minister. And there's a lot of opposition to the work there. But slowly but surely, souls are being saved. And train discipled in the ways of the Lord. So thank you for praying. Please keep praying for us, as we have an awful lot of travelling to do in the next next 5 months, really, until we sort of gets to December, and we just sort of flake out in December and try and have a little bit of rest there, and then it gets to early January and we start with camps again. So but it's great to be here. And Did I tell you we have two? I told you last year I have two grandchildren, didn't I? Yeah, well, I'll tell you again. I've got two grandchildren, and I've got pictures of them on my iPhone, and you can have a look at those pictures later if you want, for $1 per picture. And people ask why my grandkids are so cute, and I say, isn't it obvious? I mean, look at their grandpa. But anyway, it's good to be here. Let's go to John chapter 3. Please, John chapter 3. Tonight's subject is obvious. And really, when you think of it, tonight's subject is really what the Conwell Park Bible Church is all about. It really is. Whether it was the Bible Church, or whether it was the People's Church, or... Wasn't it the Jesus Saves Mission? Is that what it used to be before the Gospel Mission, Conwell Park Gospel Mission? Whatever it was called, this is what it's about. This is foundational to this church, and may it always be that way. I want to preach for you tonight on the new birth. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for the beautiful day, and Lord, I'm really thankful, Lord, for the special in song tonight. It was such a blessing. And the fellowship here, Lord, is so sweet. And we are just very, very thankful, Lord. We give you our praise and worship this evening. Dear Lord, as we come to a chapter that has been preached on countless thousands of times, yet, Lord, we revisit this chapter and and this truth. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, Lord, for the majority of us here that... understand this truth from experience, Lord. I pray that we'll just rejoice in you at your salvation. But Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that maybe is here for the first time, or maybe here for the thousandth and first time, Lord, that is not saved, I pray that you'll speak to their hearts this night. Please meet with us in a special way with your power, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Nicodemus was religious. He was a disciplined, law-keeping Pharisee. He was educated, as evidenced by his Greek name, and he was influential. The Bible says he was a ruler. Now, he went to see Jesus by night. Now, we've often been taught about why this was the case. And the usual reason is that he was afraid. He was afraid of being caught. And maybe that was the reason. Maybe there's another reason. Maybe he wanted an uninterrupted interview with Jesus. Maybe that was the reason. Or maybe it was neither of those two reasons. Maybe he had to see Jesus then. He just had to see him then. Or maybe it was all three. But it was very unusual for a ruler of his reputation to go and see this man called Jesus. And it's even more unusual when we look at verse 2 and we see that the rabbi called Jesus a rabbi. He understood the obvious. He said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." It was obvious. No one could do what Jesus had been doing unless they were from God. But this man Nicodemus was troubled. He wanted to know more about this miracle worker. And I'm sure he had a big, at least in his mind, a large list of questions that he wanted to ask this rabbi. Was he for real? Did he really come from God? And if so, why did God send him? Why did he preach so much against the Pharisees? Would he bring in the kingdom of God and get rid of these pesky Romans? I'm sure he had all these questions in his mind. But you know, he didn't get a chance to ask anything. Because as the saying is, Jesus cut to the chase and said straight off, "You must be born again. You must be born again." Now what the Lord Jesus did there was this. He right from the start, he smashed the Jewish notion that ancestry meant everything. And even today, to the Orthodox Jew, ancestry is everything. Ancestry is everything. As I understand it, every day when an Orthodox Jew prays, they pray two things. The Jewish man prays two things. He says, "I thank God that I'm a Jew." And he says, "I thank God that I'm not a woman." That's true. Jesus said to Nicodemus, Jewish ancestry, like any other ancestry, means absolutely nothing. In fact, the Lord said one day, he was talking to people, he said, "You see those rocks out there on the hillside? I can make those rocks into the sons of Abraham. It's no big deal. It's no big deal." And you know, your own grandfather may have been the grand chief head of the local lodge. It means nothing. It means nothing. There's no such thing as a second generation Christian. Every generation is a first generation Christian. Now I understand what we say that you know, there's parents were saved and the children were saved and so on, but really every Christian is a first generation Christian. Because you cannot rely on your ancestry or your family to get you into heaven. Now Nicodemus did get to ask a question. Verse number 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Pretty good question. Jesus knocks this one on the head too. He says, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now what did he mean when he said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit"? Now, I don't want to get into any theological arguments here. I can't remember what Pastor Wenham thinks about this or what Pastor Matthews thinks about this passage, but I'll give you my view anyway. But please, no theological fisticuffs. Some people say it's baptism. You know, you must be baptised to be saved. But we know that's not right. The Bible does not teach that. Baptism follows salvation. And it's a very important step that follows salvation, but it's not part of salvation. Someone else would say, others say that it's the Word of God. Being born of water is the Word of God. Ephesians 5:26. Some others would say that it's the Holy Spirit. John 7:38, talking about the rivers of living water. I think it's most probably talking about physical birth. You know, we have to take things into context there. In the context of this passage, Nicodemus is discussing physical birth. This is what I think the Lord is saying here. He's saying, listen, just as to have physical birth, you need to be born of water, to have spiritual birth, you need to be born from above. You need to be born by the Spirit of God. In any case, he puts it so simply it can never ever be improved upon. He said, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. You know, people mock the new birth. It was very, very popular back in the 70s and most probably 80s. Even just about every US president claimed to be born again. It was like something you had to have. It was like some letters after your name. BA, I suppose. But nowadays, people mock the new birth. But Jesus said, you must be born again. It is imperative. It is a necessity. You must be born again. Why did he say that? Let me give you a couple of points here, and then we'll close this evening. My voice is running out of puff, but that's all right. Makes for a shorter sermon. I want you to notice the reality of sin. You know that we are born enemies of God. There's a very prevalent view out there, it's been out there for many, many years, there's a very prevalent view that we are all God's children. The ecumenical view, we're all children of God. Whether you're a Baptist or a Buddhist or a Catholic or whatever it is, we are all children of God and we all have to find our own pathway to God. You ever heard that? That's what most people out there in most churches believe today. You know, no one is born a child of God. It just doesn't happen. In fact, we are born children of someone else. Now, this is the world view. This is the view of most religions in Sydney today. They will say, look, you go into Hyde Park of a Saturday night or a Friday night and you see that drunk sleeping on the park bench. You know, or you get down to King's Cross and you see the drug addicts down there and the prostitutes. There's your sinners. That's your sinners. You ever heard that? They are the real sinners. Or you see the people in jail. You know, or you see the kidnappers or whatever it might be. Or the terrorists. There's your sinners. What does the Bible say? Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Why? For that all have sinned. Ecclesiastes 7 says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We are born in sin. In fact, we are conceived in sin, even before we get to the birth stage. We are conceived in sin. I love the illustration of the little baby. And maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 months old, 5 months old, and that little baby is in the cot. And this is not an original illustration, by the way, but I like it. The little baby's in the cot. And that little baby starts crying, so mother comes running in. And what's the problem? He's uncovered himself, you know, the blanket's fallen off. So she puts the blanket back on. Gives him a pat, goes back to sleep. Well, he starts crying again. She comes in. What's the problem? Got a wet nappy. All right, got to change the nappy. Changes the nappy. Puts him back to bed and he's happy again. 10 minutes later, he starts crying again. Mother comes running in. What's the problem? He's hungry. He needs his milk. So feeds the baby, puts him back to bed. Okay. And that little baby starts thinking, every time I start crying, my mother comes running in. So, a little while after that, the baby's fed, he's dry, he's warm, he starts crying. Mother comes in, picks the baby up, what does the baby start doing? Laughing. Your kids ever do that? What has that baby just learned how to do? To lie, to deceive. You say, how did the baby learn that? It was inbuilt. And as they say, what's worse and biting into an apple and finding a worm. Finding half a worm. How did the worm get in there? I'll tell you, it was born in there. When that apple was a little bud, the fly, Louie came along, or Mrs. Louie, laid the egg on that little bud, apple grew around it, and the worm's actually inside the apple. It was born in there. How did sin come into our lives?
We were born in sin. We are born in an incredibly desperate situation. And that simple knowledge is so foreign to most people today. I've got this friend of mine. He lives about a couple of hundred yards down the road from our place. He's an old fella. He's 85 now. He's a good friend. He was a world famous photographer back in the 60s and 50s. He photographed Elizabeth Taylor, Louis Armstrong, Omar Sharif. He was David Jones' head photographer for 15 years. You know the David Jones, you know that pattern, that blue pattern on the David Jones bags and stuff? I think they've still got, he invented that. He designed that. And I've sat down a number of times with Jeff, lovely old man, very, very sick. And I've gone through the gospel message with him, but all to no avail. Jeff said, he says, and he says this even today, he says, you know, he says, I don't believe that I'm a sinner. He says, we all make mistakes. I'll agree, I'll give you that. But I'm not a real sinner. He said, you look at Jesus. He said, one out of 12 was rotten. But the other 11 were pretty good, weren't they? That's his thinking. The Bible says we've all gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every man to his own way. The reality of sin makes for the necessity of the new birth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Psalm 58:3. Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We can dress it up all we like, but sin is sin. You know why God gave us the Ten Commandments? You ask people that sometime. Why did God give us the Ten Commandments? Most people will say, well, to show us how we should live. No, God gave us the Ten Commandments to show us that we couldn't keep the Ten Commandments. And ignorance is no excuse. You try getting out of a parking fine. Ignorance is no excuse. God gave us His law to show us how crooked we were. The reality of sin. I want you to notice the failure of Reformation. Now, not only does the main most people get mixed up with the fact of sin, they get the new birth and reformation or religion mixed up. You see, the new birth is not reformation. The new birth is not trying to do better. That's not the new birth. The new birth is not trying to clean your life up. The new birth is not religion. My great uncle, Christopher Goy, was a great man. He's passed on years ago now, but he was decorated in two world wars. His father was a Presbyterian, and he was a Presbyterian minister. he was a desert rat in the First World War, and he was seconded back into the Australian Army in World War II. He was a padre in Darwin during the Second World War. He was a very, very close friend and work associate of John Flynn of the Inland. And my Uncle Chris had what was known as the largest parish in the world. His sphere of operation started in Mackay in Queensland and went to Broome in Western Australia and everything north. And it took him 10.5 months every year in an international station wagon with his wife, Irene. They would drive around and visit all these stations and little towns once a year. And he'd do marriages and, you know, weddings and funerals and all the rest of it. And he was a very clever man. And some of the experiences, he wrote a book, and it's an incredible book when you read some of his experiences of his life. He was the minister of Scots Church in Sydney here for a number of years. He was a friend of governor generals and dignitaries. He was on the platform at the 1959 Billy Graham Crusade. He was the moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Victoria. I'm not sure what the moderator is or does, but he was it. Not long before he died, my mum wrote to Uncle Chris, and she said something along these lines. Dear Uncle Chris, can you please tell me can you please tell me when you became a Christian? And he wrote back to my mum and said, "Dear Annette, as far as I know, I was born a Christian." To me, that is really sad. The ultimate person of religion had no idea about the new birth. You see, the new birth is not religion. The new birth is not Reformation. I want you to notice the requirement of the new birth. It's required because Jesus said it's required. He said you must be born again. What actually is the new birth? What is it? It's being made into a brand new person. It's being made spiritually alive by God Himself. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, why is it then? Why is it that so many apparent, and I use the word apparent carefully, so many apparent Christians out there don't seem to be any different from anyone else? We all think about this. Why is that person or that person no different to anyone else? They claim to be a Christian, but their life doesn't match up to that. Now, I'm not saying that a Christian can't mess up. We can, and oftentimes we do. But I think, if the truth be known, a lot of so-called Christians are not so-called Christians, really. They're not Christians because they're not born again. Look at verse number 8 here now in our passage. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit." You know, you can't see the wind, but you see the effects of the wind. In the same way, you can't actually take the new birth and put it in a test tube, but you can see what it does. You can see its effects in a changed life. When you are born again, your life changes for good. I'm not saying everyone has drastic changes. I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me as a 7-year-old boy. And to be honest, I don't remember, you know, a lightning bolt hitting me, or I don't remember saying hallelujah. But I do know that God was working in my heart as a 7-year-old boy. But that's not that, I mean, everyone's experience is different. But I'll tell you what, if you're born again, your life will change in some way. I often use the example of my father-in-law. Many of you know him. He's an unusual character. He's a very loud character. You know, he was saved at the age of, I think it was 51 or 52. His idea was that religion, as he put it, was really good for women and children, but not for Australian men. And then Robin and Joy would just pester him and preach to him and say, "Dad, you need to get saved." He said, "Eh." He said, "I'll get saved when I retire." Some of you have heard this story. Now, you've got to understand, Ron, he's about 6'3". He's a big fella, eh? He's a big fella with a voice to match. And you can hear him before you see him, actually. But, you know, he used to go to sleep up at the farm in Gloucester. They used to own the cattle farm up there. And, you know, when he was there by himself, he would always sleep with the light on, because he was afraid of the dark. True. Here's this great big fella, afraid of the dark. To cut the story short, he was born again one day. And he was no longer afraid of the dark. You see, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Very quickly, I want you to notice the reward of the new birth. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. When someone is born again, we are born into the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And I tell you what, there's some incredible reward that goes with that. When little Alexander Young was born in May 2009, he was born into the Young family. And he has all the privileges of being a full member of the Young family.
All the privileges. I have no idea what those privileges are. I'm afraid I'm not going to have much to leave my grandkids. all my kids. David wants my South Sydney Guernsey. And I think Grace wants my camera, which I've already sold. But little Alexander Young, he is now a member of the Young family. He was born into that family. So whether it's fame or notoriety, whatever, he's got it. You know, when you're born again, you're born into God's family. It is an incredible thing. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Someone says, aren't we all the children of God? No, we're not all the children of God. You're only a child of God if you're born into God's family. Well, what's the application? It's so obvious. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? You might have been coming to this church for the last 20 years. And you might have heard this same or a similar sermon 100 times. But are you born again? Was there a time in your life when you said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, how do you get born again? It comes by a thing called faith. It comes by believing. Again, the most famous verse in all the Bible is verse 16 of John 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus, that whosoever, that's you and me, believeth in him, that's Jesus, should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the word believe. It's the word faith. You can't work your way to the new birth. You can't earn the new birth. It comes by faith. Have you been born again? You know whether you have or not. Have you been born again? The invitation rings so clearly. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They'll be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And I ask this other question, if you're not born again tonight, why aren't you born again? Why aren't you born again? You know, the opportunity to be born again will not always be. It will not always be. For obvious reasons. We have no guarantee on life. It's like a vapor. We have no guarantee even on tonight. You know, and the opportunity to be born again will not always be. But there is an opportunity for you tonight to be born again. I'll finish with this story. True story from about maybe 100 years ago. There was a famous physician. He was from Austria. His name was Adolf Lorenzo. Now, I'm not sure the condition that he specialized in or his specialty as a surgeon, but he devised a particular form of surgery that corrected a very serious physical problem. The story, when I read this, it didn't actually say what that problem was. But anyway, he became quite famous. And he did a tour of the world, at least of Europe and America and so on, teaching other doctors how to do this particular form of surgery to save lives. There was a woman in the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Her daughter suffered from this particular malady. And when she heard about this man, she wrote to this doctor and implored him to come and to fix her daughter. Well, a year or two went on. Dr. Lorenz was, as I said, doing this touring the universities and the hospitals, teaching hospitals. And he was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And his schedule was very, very hectic. So one afternoon he decided to go out for a walk. And he, as he was walking out from his hotel, clouds came across, big rainstorm came down, he got drenched to the skin, it was teeming down. He said he had to get out of the rain. So he went up to the first house he could find.
knocked on the door. Lady opened the door. He said, "Madam," in his broken English, "Madam, could I please come in for just until the storm passes?" And this is what the lady said. She said, "Sir, there's enough trouble in this house already. Please go away." And she closed the door. Well, eventually, his minders drove around and found him and took him back to the hotel. Guess who that lady was? The very next day, she was reading the local newspaper. And she saw a photograph on the front page of that newspaper, and she let out a shriek of terror. That was the doctor. She was the lady that wrote to this doctor, imploring him to come and fix her daughter. You see, the opportunity came to her, and she closed the door. My friend, you might have been coming to church here all your life. Are you born again? Do you know there was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ came into your life to be your Saviour? If you're not saved this evening, that's my question. Would you come and be saved? Maybe you're a youngster, maybe you're an older person. Would you respond this evening and say, "Yes, I want Jesus as my Saviour"? And maybe you are a Christian. I suspect that most of us here are born again. We need to rejoice in what God has done for us. Let's have all heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me give the very brief invitation this evening, but a serious invitation. If there's someone here this evening and you would say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure. I don't know 100% for sure that I am born again this evening. But I'd like to know. I would like to know. God, the Holy Spirit has spoken to my heart tonight. I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. I'm not sure that I'm born again. But tonight, I would like to know that I am saved. I'd like to make sure of that fact. And I would like to respond tonight to the message." Is there someone here while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? Is there one person here and you'd say, "Preacher, that is me. I'm not sure, but I'd like to know. I'd like to be sure today." This is what I want you to do. While no one's looking around, just lift your hand up in the air just for a moment. Putting your hand up in the air is not going to make you a Christian. I understand that. It's just a response. It's responding to the message. And I'd like you to let me know that. Is there one person you'd say, "Preacher, that is me. I do not know for sure that I'm a Christian. I don't know that I'm born again, but I would like to be. I'd like to know more about that tonight." Would you just raise your hand up? Put it in the air, and put it down again. We thank you, dear Lord, for the salvation that you have provided for us through the death and resurrection of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in the new birth of being part of your family, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. And Lord, please continue to work amongst us, Lord, as we rejoice in what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for 74 years of the Lighthouse of the Gondel Park Bible Church. And may we continue to take that message to those we come across this coming week. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you take your hymn books, please? And would you turn to number 537?